get alive and deadly. Nah, can't be stealing those ones. You know, we already stole the land. Can't be stealing their sayings either.
Yeah, exactly right.
Land back. Anyway, that's another story for another day. How you going, Cass?
Yeah, good, brother. Good.
Good to see you, brother.
It was quite a good weekend.
I'm talking to the main event champion. Give us a rundown. quickly.
Just one of those days where just everything hits. You know, you don't have, you get decent cards all day and the good cards hold.
Beautiful.
Bad beats. And so, just followed up with good poker. Well.
So what was the, so you told us there's 183 runners. What's the tournament? What's the region? What how did it work?
It's the Newcastle Kingdom series.
So yeah, okay.
That's 3 times a year, mate. So 350 main event, 50k guaranteed.
Nice. You took it out, eh?
Took it out, mate. Took it out. So, but obviously while playing a little poker, I was able to catch my eye to a little bit of footy that was on over the weekend too, and that was all pretty exciting and interesting as well, as always.
Yeah. So, obviously, our team didn't get the 2 points, but that's okay when Souths don't get the 2 points either.
Yeah,
you know, we're free rolling all weekend, really.
Yeah, look, it's a bit more of the same for Souths. You know, we spoke last about we both had different thoughts on where Souths would be at the end of the year. And one of those points I said to you was I just feel like I'm seeing the same thing. So it started the spiral last year. And as you know, Wick, I do like my numbers, mate. So I've gone over the numbers and I want to throw a few at you tonight.
Hit me.
Mate.
Hit me.
So look, since round 11 last year, when Souths were sitting 8-3 and first on the top of the table, you know, they had a great winning streak. In that time, Souths record is currently 4 wins and 11 losses. In those 15 games, they've conceded over 36 points 5 times and 26 points 12 times out of 15 games. So they're leaking 29 points a game, and you just don't win enough games of footy when you have to score more than 30. And Souths have always been able to score points. Not an ability of defence, but as always, defence is an attitude thing. And, you know, we've seen ruffles of last year with Sam Burgess. Reasons why he left for leniencies or whatever, and whatever the rumors were, and you know, maybe we're seeing the same signs of things that are there. Like maybe, you know, after all the pressures on the coach, without a doubt. Like,
because Sam Burgess, he is from, you know, I feel like he's from, you know, he's the school of Michael Maguire. He's a school of Michael Maguire. Is even, you know, like when Michael Maguire left the Rabbitohs, Sam Burgess wasn't really the same either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what type of attitude and what he you know, that's what brings out the best in him. So it's probably why he did speak up a little bit when he started to see that those standards weren't really being maintained.
Well, look, obviously something's going on because there's a good enough footy team there.
Like, yes, absolutely.
You know, last year, when they were sitting on top of the table talking to my young cousin, who is a rabid Bunnies fan,
yeah.
And I said, oh, God, you guys are going to win the comp this year. Like,
yeah. It was hard last year,
They looked that good. Now, obviously, they're going to get Jack Whiten back in this week. Campbell Graham is still always going to be a loss no matter what. But, like, there's plenty of good footy players there, but I don't know. They've got a tough run after this. Like, you know, this is their run. They play after they play the Roosters this week. Then they've got the Bulldogs on Good Friday, who always aim up at least. But that's probably their softest game over the next month and a half. They play the Warriors. They play the Sharks. They play the Storm. They play the Panthers.
Tough. Where have they got the Warriors as well?
No, I think the Warriors game is at home.
Oh, that's a little bit of relief there. But the Warriors have obviously shown that they've got a bit of ticker in them again this year. I said at the beginning of the year, I know we've had a couple of weeks off, but I said that I thought they were going to have the hangover.
Yep.
And I don't think they've got the hangover.
No, they've looked good. They've been unfortunate in 2 losses. You know, they are another one of the Owen teams.
We don't call them Owen just yet, though. They are Owen. But we don't call them Owen yet. You gotta earn it.
Well, they look. I was looking back over the Warriors' time in the NRL, and because obviously they're a team, you know, you were talking about them having a hangover and missing out on the eight, and, you know, them making the finals last year, it's, you know, first time they made it since 2018, and before that, 2011. So it has been a little barren period for the last sort of probably 15 years. And they're probably their best time, I would say, was those through those sort of early 2000s and then the late 2000s. You know, they made a grand final against the Roosters and prelim the next year, nearly went back to a grand final. And then they kind of were in the wilderness. And then they'd sort of, that late 2000s, they kind of bothered to put those great Melbourne Storm teams.
Yeah.
You know, they gave them trouble. They knocked it in 2008. They beat them. Like, got to a prelim. 2011, they made a grand final against Manly. Like, you know, but now it just feels like a Warriors team that could be more consistent, and they look really good. So, but if they look, it's not going to be an easy game for them this week. You know, if there's any team's going to like playing in Christchurch, it's the Canberra Raiders.
Yeah, true.
Like, they're just, that's a perfect game for them. Oh, gritty, grindy.
House of Pain. Is the House of Pain in Christchurch or is it in Otago? I forget. I used to know all the stadiums back then. But one of the stadiums in New Zealand is called House of Pain. And it's funny actually, because I'm pretty sure I think it's Christchurch, and I don't want to be wrong about this, but I think it's Christchurch because it's the Crusaders.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it might have been Owen Finnegan said something like that. It's like, well, you know, we might not ever win at Eden Park, but no one wins at Eden Park. Yeah. And it's the same with House of Pain. It's like, you know, the Crusaders, like, they Crusaders really lose away from home. Let alone at home.
Exactly right. They just,
that's why I think it's Christchurch.
And those really great teams, they just defend their. Do you defend your house?
Yeah.
You know, it's so important because, like, you make sure it's difficult and it's painful, and the teams don't want to come play here. Like, and we punish them. We put them away.
Fortress Brookie. You got a little taste of it this year.
Yeah, exactly right. And look at the Panthers. 36 of their last 40, they won at home.
Oh, yeah.
Parramatta's beat them twice, I think, and the Broncos beat them last year, and then the other time, I'm not sure who the other team was. So, like, you make
probably
that.
The Storm.
You know, when the Roosters have been at their best, as Robbo says, you know, that we defend our home. You know, when our home was being rebuilt, the SCG became our fortress.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, we were almost better at the SCG than we were at
Allianz.
Pre-Allianz.
Yeah, yeah. We knew it wasn't going to be for very long there.
Yeah.
So we had to make, you know, try and turn it into a positive. But also, in saying that, we knew it wasn't going to be very long there. For one of those seasons, we had the greatest halfback of his generation spend a season there. And he sure
and also,
as well.
I do think as well, like, something about if your home ground has something a little bit peculiar or different about it, obviously that's going to be, you know, the more foreign to the outsider, the more of an advantage.
Yeah,
you know, and
sure.
The fact that it was an oval, but you've got a rectangle field, and it's harder to get a feel for the depth and the width of the footy field. So, you know, the halfbacks kicking games can be a bit more of a challenge and an adjustment if they haven't played a bit of footy there.
Yeah.
And then you drag them down.
I would assume, just on average, the Sydney Cricket Ground's going to be a faster track for the ball anyway, as well.
Absolutely.
On average, it might not be the fastest in the NRL. But I'd say it's faster than the average, just in its nature.
Yeah, I think so. I would think so too. Yeah, the other team that's the, well, we won't call them Owen, not just the another, not just Owen, just yet. Another winless team, the Newcastle Knights.
Yes,
a potential hangover team.
They're the ones with the hangover by
the
looks of things.
Now, the funny thing is, you look at, like, because of the sort of the hype and the feel with the Knights, you'd feel like this is a team that just made the finals for the first time in a long time. But they've actually, you know, they've been there three of the last 4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They've finished between fifth and seventh.
Okay.
They made it last year. They missed it the year before, but they made it back-to-back years, 2020, 2021. Out first round.
Who were the coaches?
Adam O'Brien was the coach for two of them, and I believe Nathan Brown was the first time.
There you go. Interesting. So Adam O'Brien's had them for 3 years and made two finals appearances.
Yeah.
Is that right?
There you go.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Because the way the rhetoric that you hear, you'd think that, like, they've only just made the finals and they've underperformed every year, and I'm pretty sure, was it Nathan Brown in there in 20? Because it was 2020, 2021, they missed 2022, and then they made 2023. So 2020, Adam O'Brien was at the Roosters.
Yep.
Was he?
Okay. I'm not sure.
Oh, no, he was there in 2019, and then they told him to go in 2020. I'd have to check the, we'd have to check the books.
I've got a feeling he was there for 2020 and finished the year.
At the Roosters? Yeah. And then joined the following year. We'll check.
That'll
we'll
give him three seasons at the Knights as well. 21, 22, 23. Anyway, there was something that you did mention to us, Cass.
Yeah.
That you said you did a little bit of homework over, which I've been waiting to listen to. It's to do with how does the two grand final teams, or more specifically the grand final losing team, perform, or how their season goes the next year?
Yeah.
Generally. Look, or not even generally, just how has it happened for the past few grand final losers?
Well, it's always, you know, it's always probably one of the toughest things to go through, losing the grand final. Obviously, you know, they talk about how emotionally damaging or draining it can be from losing the grand final, and obviously how hard it is to get there. So over the last 25 years, we've had 25 seasons of the NRL.
Yep.
8 times they've missed the finals completely.
So the grand final loser.
Missed the finals. Has missed the finals. Missed
so a third of the time.
Okay. Three times they have made it, been knocked out in week one.
Okay. Yep.
4 times they've been knocked out in week two.
Yep.
So that's 15 of the 25 years you're not getting back to a prelim.
Yep.
4 have made a prelim.
Yep.
1 has made it back to the grand final and lost. And 5 times the team has come back and won the title.
Now, sorry, 1 second. Can you just say only 1 time a grand final loser has made the grand final the following year, but they lost and lost. So Roosters, 2004.
Roosters, 2004.
Right, okay, yep, okay.
But 5 times the team has gone on to become the champ. Now, with those statistics, 3 of those instances are the Melbourne Storm.
Yep.
Melbourne Storm in
2007. Yeah.
2009, 2020. Sorry. No. Wait.
Maybe that. Yeah.
In 2000. And, is, sorry, right. I've got it here. In 2007, 2009, and 2016.
Oh, they lost in 2017.
So 2017.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
2017. So 3 times the Storm, once the Panthers and once Manly. So you had
Manly,
sort of a
2008.
You had it, so you had it happen a couple of times during those late 2000 years when Storm was sort of at the top, Manly sniffing about them. Yeah. So you know, and you've had the Panthers, a great team, and the Melbourne Storm have always been such a great team. Whenever they're champions, you know, in 2016, 17, they've made 3 grand finals in a row during that period.
Yeah.
You know, so it is obviously it does depend, doesn't it? Like, what kind of grand? I guess that you find out what kind of grand finalist you are. You know, you had Parramatta Eels last year. They made the grand final the year before, and then they missed the 8.
Yeah, and I felt like the Parramatta Eels deserved to be in their grand final, but. I'd be interested to know, 2 things. Firstly, the teams that missed the 8 completely missed the 8, not the ones that knocked out in the first year week, but even those teams probably could be thrown in there. Is their window closing?
Yeah.
Was their window closing?
Well, I'll read them out. Well, let's go back through them and we'll see.
Completely missed?
Completely missed, and I'll tell you where they came and how many. So
in what year it was?
So in 2017, the Cowboys made the grand final, and the following year, when they went on that run, the following year they came 13th. They had 8 wins for the year.
Yeah,
so that was just the team that sort of spiked the grand final. They probably shouldn't have been there, you know.
Yeah,
they went on a run. The next team was the Warriors in 2011. Warriors 2011, they made the grand final, played against Manly. They finished sixth when they made the grand final. The next year, they finished 14th. So that's one there. It's just a team that just kind of spiked it.
They're an inconsistent side, yeah.
The Roosters, 2010, made the grand final. Next
we know
year,
what happened there.
We came 11th, had 10 wins.
Coach, I'm going to blame that on the coach. Definitely wasn't the window closing. Fucking hell.
Cowboys.
It was opening.
Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah. In
2005, made the grand final.
Yeah, 2006, nowhere.
They came ninth. They had 11 wins. So they just
I would say their window was closing, though, because they made the grand final.
In
oh, no, they lost.
They made a prelim.
No, sorry, they made the prelim in 2004.
Yeah. Yeah. So they sort of had that couple of years.
So theirs was opening, and then it must have closed after they got beat.
Well, the next window time they were ready to win was 2015, wasn't it? So
was that the last time they made the finals after that?
Yeah.
No.
No, 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 not at all, not at all. But I mean, like, that was the time when they were really hot
already.
Ready to win.
Yeah, well, we should have won 2015. They're very lucky Hargraves got injured.
Exactly right.
That was
right.
Ours.
Hargraves and Pierce.
And Pierce,
I know he played the prelim, but he
wasn't ready for it.
He wasn't ready for it. Okay, so Roosters in 2004, that was a window closing. Brad Fittler retired. Yep. So that we also came ninth the following year with 11 wins.
Yeah.
And the Dragons in 99 when they made the grand final the following year they came ninth.
Oh well, they were
12,
really
12 wins.
They were still there.
Yeah,
they were still in the sheds at half time.
Yeah, but not quite though. Were they not quite? You know, like the Panthers, Parramatta Eels come 10th or whatever last year. Like you know,
I felt like they're obviously a better side this year from those two matches that we've seen them play. But Reed Marnie, big out for them, big loss, and it was hard for them to fill, and they're still going to struggle to fill it.
Mm.
And I think they had a few injuries. They didn't have everything go their way. Just it wasn't their year last year. Just wasn't their year, obviously. But speaking of Reed Marnie, I forgot where I was going to go with Parramatta, but I'll get back to it. Pop back up.
Parramatta's looked all right. You know, they've got, they're going to be a competitive team. Like, it's funny, like, I look through the list of teams and it's going to be, it's funny, it's going to be interesting to see who misses out.
Yeah, we said that at the beginning.
Yeah, like,
it's bullshit, eh? So, is it reflective of how good the comp is or how bad the middle teams are?
No, I think how good the comp is because, like, I don't think that they're bad. I think the depth just goes deeper, like of good footy teams. Because look, you got Penrith, Melbourne, Roosters, Broncos, Manly, Sharks, Warriors, Parramatta, Cowboys. Yeah.
What about Wayne Bennett's the coach of the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Hardly heard of him this year.
Yeah.
You reckon he wants it like that?
He loves it like that. Don't bother me.
Don't bother me.
Don't even talk about us. Don't even talk about us at all.
Yeah.
And then he'll just pop out and
what about
then
the
he'll
Titan?
Call you when he wants it.
What about the bloody Titans, man? They don't care about me, so that's fine. They don't have to care about me. But they pissed me off, man. We should have won. They should have won. You know, Desi, I reckon.
Kieran Foran didn't play, though, so. As well.
Yeah, I know. I know now that you're a mom.
But that's just those hot. These just these hot and cold teams, you know. They're teams that are sort of average teams when they come up against each other. And if one team sort of gets a swing of momentum, like, it can just. They'll just kind of blow the other team out. And then the following week, look what happened. Dolphins, who are sort of a very mediocre team, and they played the Dragons, who had coming off a high of a win, and Dolphins needed a win, and they pumped them.
So do you have Manly in your top eight?
Yes, I do.
I want to do my top eight again.
Yeah. My top eight, it was Panthers, Storm, Roosters, Manly, Warriors, Sharks, and I had the Knights in there.
Yeah.
As well.
I think the Raiders are going to be good as well.
And the Cowboys?
What about
the Raiders?
Austin?
Yeah, we didn't even mention the Raiders. Like, in this
he's
team,
a weapon.
Yeah, he is a weapon. He's going to be, and he'll be on the bench.
I don't want to say he's going to play for New South Wales right now because he's not. We've got a shitload of back rows, but you know, like back in the day, especially back in high school, he'd be like a Queensland bolter.
He'd play good in every jersey he's worn. He started the Broncos.
Really?
He was at the Broncos.
I never noticed him.
Yeah, and couldn't get a run there, and then went to the Panthers, got a run with the best team in the comp, and showed his stuff. Then sort of moved on. Now he's at the Raiders and filled in while Whitehead's been out. Played like a weapon.
Who's the other back rower?
For the Raiders.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on Whitehead's side, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd move Hoskin.
I like him, yeah. Keep him on the field. He's just one of those guys. He's always around it. He's always does a good workload. The only time you see him is when he does good things. You're not usually seeing him like making an error, doing something silly, and missing a tackle.
He's got that size/strength in him that you're not really going to manhandle him. You know what
exactly.
I mean? You know, like Liam Martin? Like, you're not going to monster him. Not many back rowers these days really are going to monster. But like I would see him, like, especially now, maybe not at the Panthers, but definitely now that, you know, Ricky's given him the top, like, the job now. It's your spot now. I reckon he would, like, be keen to take on Olokoatu. You know what I mean? In the sense that, like, all right, he's one of the big dogs. I'll take him on. I can take him on.
Yeah.
I reckon he could take him on.
Well, Hudson Young is the other one, is the other back rower.
Ooh, Sugar. Yeah. How are they going to fit him? They might have to move him to the middle.
The middle, they've got a rookie in there, Morgan Smithies.
Yeah.
He's been there for all these games, played 80 minutes.
Wow.
And he's only been good. Yeah.
Sugar. Okay. Oh, yeah. Their pack's good, man. Yeah. And, you know, I always shit on Ricky, but he knows how to fire up his team.
They always have good forwards. We've always questioned, like, you've always got, oh, the Raiders have the points in them, but they always have a good pack and they're competitors. They're just like, fuck you guys. You think that we're shit? We'll show you. And that's literally what they think we're shit. That's what they think of us. Well, fuck them.
The thing with them as well is they obviously show, like, real good. When they're a top team, they show that they're good. But even a little bit like the Roosters in a bit, they can just fuck up against a shit team or a middle of the road team where they're supposed absolutely. To win. You know, and then they'll play the Melbourne Storm and beat them.
In Melbourne.
And beat them. And you're like, what the hell happened?
And lose at home to the Tigers.
Yeah, shit like that. They do shit like that.
Yeah. But look, that's the depth of the comp, isn't it? You know, so, yeah, and as we get through these next couple of weeks, you know, you don't want to be sort of 0-3, 0-4, like that's.
Because then you'll get your title.
It almost becomes a death wish. Yeah. You know? So, you know, it's a lot of pressure on the Knights. Look, the Knights at home this week against the Melbourne Storm.
What about the Knights? Sorry, we'll touch on that quickly. But, man, I was talking up Jackson Hastings at the beginning of the year. You know, Zach, they dropped him.
Yeah, dropped
him. Is he really that bad?
I didn't think so. I think it's the Knights' defence was more of an issue than, you know, anything to do with the halfback.
Yeah, and similar to Ilias as well, like, wouldn't have mattered who they had at halfback.
Yeah, nah.
Like, one caller caught up to SEN and says, I disagree, his kicks were shit. Okay, sweet. Okay, I didn't personally notice that his kicks were shit, sorry. But, okay, granted, okay, let's say his kicks were shit.
Yep.
Is that it? No one else would have saved them.
Yeah.
Like, Walker's not 100% fit, like, in terms of injury-wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, Latrell, he ain't 100% fit. I'm talking cardio-wise.
He ain't ever.
And they're going to blame it on Ilias.
Yeah. Yeah, blame it on the leaders, the people who should be taking the accountability are the senior playing group, the senior players and the senior coaching staff. As they always do, you know, try and change something.
And to be fair, if Walker can play, he's not going to play.
But look, it is a rivalry match, so that's what, you know, these matches, it doesn't really matter of either team's form coming into it.
Get out the window.
That's all out the window.
You know, Wolf's form guide? Duck it out.
Duck it out.
Need it this week. Chuck it out.
Both teams alive. And look, their season's starting to become on the line for them too, you know.
Why do you say that?
Well, when you, like, you start going 0-3, like, you know, it's this season become pressure becomes like if they were to lose. I mean, so going into this match, you don't want to have the pressure going into to blue. You go, if we lose this match, we're 0-3. Now we're just playing from behind. Like,
the whole season,
you're already by now, we're really playing from behind. Like, and then we've got really tough matchups coming up as well. Like, you know, it becomes tough. And then if there's already problems, like, that are cracks, that's where things can burst. And as we've seen in rugby league, there's always a team somewhere that things just like spiral and it just the season just tornadoes. Last year was the Rabbitohs as well.
We'll start probably going deeper into this game then. What are the matchups that we're looking at?
Well, obviously, Jack White returns for the South, the much-needed weaponry for them. So he will come out onto the right edge, I believe, for where Campbell Graham normally is.
Not the left?
Well, the left, I feel like they would just leave it as it is. We've got Pass and Johnson there.
Isn't Kenner on the left?
Is it? Okay, well, he would be on the left then. I thought,
So, no, you're right. Tass last year was on the left. But I feel like I've seen Kenneth scored that try on the left in that in the game against Manly.
Yeah,
there's two tries.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty sure he's on the left. And Whiten plays on the left. Well, he did for Canberra.
Yeah, yeah. So you put him on the left. So that's a deadly left edge. And, you know, if you're lining up, that means you're lining up against Joey Manu. Thea Wong's been dropped for the Roosters too.
I've seen footage of the reserve grade game.
Yeah.
Brighton. Looks like it's cheating, bro.
Oh, really?
Cheating. So that's a good sign to know that he's back, like he's ready for first grade.
And that's why he's playing first grade this week.
He's on the bench. He's on the bench, but it's like, when I was looking, I was like, yeah, that guy played for Australia like less than 2 years ago. Like, that guy shouldn't be playing there.
Yeah. He's just much better than all these guys. he's back in. So you're going to have Nat Butcher back on his right edge, ever reliable, doesn't miss tackles. You know, he's great, you know, always feels safe.
And he'll be up for the game. Don't you worry about it.
And Sandon Smith obviously coming in for Luke Keary. You know, I don't feel like, obviously it's always a loss to lose a guy like Luke Keary, but I feel comfortable with Sandon Smith when I've seen him. He's always done quite well for the Roosters. The more responsibility you give him, I think he seems to really step up to it. So And Connor Watson comes onto the bench. Like, what a replacement to come on and be a utility. Yeah. And Connor Watson's a great player.
All right. Yeah, so before we keep talking, I just want to get this off my chest. But I was listening to SCN the other day, and they talked about they played the 3-2-1 game. So it'll be a teams that are playing, and they'll go 3-2-1, and then they have to say a player that played for both teams, and the most obscure of the names of the people that yelled out wins.
Okay.
Right. So go down. So when I got to Roosters versus South, I had to think about it, and I'm not going to go. Well, you can go. We won't play a game, but I'm going to go my most obscure one, and it's got a double level. It's got two levels to it as well. My one, Anthony Sherrington. Shout out to the cuzzy there, by the way, but Anthony Sherrington. Now, not only did he play for the Roosters and South, but he also played for the Wombats and Pato Alara.
Yeah.
So he played the juniors too. That's a double layer.
Like the junior rivalries. Yes, that is a big time rivalry. Yes.
Yeah, your turn.
Those jerseys. Oh, Jesus. A guy played for just in history.
In history. Let's be obscure if you can. I know I've got you off guard.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Bloody hell. I can only really think of the obvious ones, you know.
Oh, then go obvious.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple that play in the team. You got Angus Crichton and Luke Keary.
Even Matt Butcher in a little bit. Like, he never played first grade for South, but
he played junior for South.
He's got a page in the book, brother. Don't you worry about that.
Joseph Suali'i.
Yeah.
But did they say a few good obscure ones? Did you hear any?
I think someone yelled out Brian Fletcher. I was thinking at the time, I was thinking Shannon Hegarty, but then when I thought about it, I went, nah, fuck that. Sure, for sure. Man, that's the best one.
Yeah.
It's the best one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's my double. But go back to the footy. Sorry. I just wanted to shout out to the cuzzy.
Of course. Yeah, no, look. So, yeah, it's going to be spicy. But, yeah, that right edge for the Roosters will be, that's going to be the South's biggest weapon on the left edge. And then for South, South's biggest weapon is almost themselves. Like, they're already going to face plenty of weapons for the Roosters. But that's the big, you know, they can't make the errors the way they have and give away silly. They just seem to also, so often, as we've seen in the last part of last year and the start of this year, they've had those lapses where they're just not that footy team for 20 minutes of the game. And they might leak points and no pressure on a good set, then followed up with an error or the giveaway errors coming out of their own end. So then they're always defending pressure. And then for 10 minutes, they just look unstoppable.
Lachelle get the ball, he'll chip and chase. Or even if he doesn't chip and chase, he's just so strong and skillful that you need to put 100% attention to him. You can't clock off to him and he'll just snap you. He'll just break you. And then he'll spot someone else out.
Yeah, exactly right. And he's good enough to get an offload or a kick or whatever is needed to create an overlap or an opportunity. Although that's him and Cody Walker, like, they're good enough for that, but they're not able to string enough of those ones together or enough good, solid play in and around it. That's what they're missing. Yeah. So, like, you can have all that, but then just defend everything and wait for your opportunity. But, you know, that's just not what they've been. You know, it's 30 points a game. Look, if the Roosters are playing well and at their best, like, it's going to be a very hard proposition for the Bunnies. You know, when they just, there's just something not right at the Bunnies. Like, it's not just, and it's not, we can talk about football and what their defense is doing, and it's here, as always. That's the last bit of your footy that is the most important, that separates sometimes the teams that go on to do well and the ones that don't. And the team they're not quite there. There's something smells fishy.
300 for one of the Roosters stalwarts.
Oh yeah, could you script it any better?
Would have liked them to play in Vegas.
Of course. It's, you know, the next best thing is to play 300 against the Bunnies.
Yeah, where's it? Homebush?
No, Allianz. Is that Allianz? I'll be there. I'll be there. Yeah, no, and look, he's only 7 games away from the record for most games for the Roosters.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Which is amazing to do as a fucking front rower. It just shows how tough he is.
Really tough at the Roosters.
I wonder how many games he would have played, like, if without all the suspension. He's probably missed at least 70. A season. He's missed at least a season.
Probably 70, I agree.
Maybe 2. But good on him, Jared. This is the last season, so... We want to put last week's game behind us and look how good Teddy's been playing. Steve, you want to talk about consistency? There's a guy. He's been our best probably for those first 2 weeks. You know,
good to see Dom Young as well, full flight.
How about that? Oh, how you going, big fella? Here you go.
And they need to do that more often, those types of things.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's under 8 stars.
It's the fastest
player. Just give the ball to the fastest player on the side.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. Right.
Garrick showed some speed though, didn't he?
He did.
I saw it again today. It looked like he was in, like, sped up.
But Garrick was in front though, like, because
when I was watching,
yeah,
and he was running, I was like, he's fucking quick.
Yeah, he is quick, man. He is quick, Garrick.
And then Young beat him still.
Yeah.
And so because Young's, like, really big. It's deceptively fast. Like, you know, he's fast.
Yeah.
But, like, for Teddy to just pass the ball to him, you're like, shit, this guy must be lightning.
Yeah. Yeah, because Teddy's no slouch.
Yeah. Yeah, good on them.
Big, long legs. It would have been interesting if Jason Saab was on the field.
Yes, it would have.
If he was playing.
Did Talau score a try?
I'm not sure.
It's interesting that Saab's ahead of Talau. I think Talau's all right. But maybe he's not necessarily a winger.
Well, Talau's got 6 weeks to be ahead of him, you know?
He's out injured, to cement his spot. But, I suppose those outside backs can sort of do the same thing. But, yeah, anyway. Anything else to keep an eye out there this weekend?
No, look, mate, there's all exciting games of footy. You know, we're going to know a little bit more in the next few weeks about who the real pressure's on. So, but look, Melbourne Storm Knights game is the other one I'm interested in, because you're going to have both halves missing for the Storm. Jerome Hughes, they took the plea because they didn't want to risk missing another week, even though the penalty was ridiculous.
Yeah.
you know, that's where common sense lost itself.
Like, what's he to do? Missed the tackle.
Exactly right. And it's not like he assaulted him. He's just like, oi, you're in my way. I'm going to make the tackle. Like, he's just not even looking at him.
But unless the ref was going to tackle him for him.
Yeah, exactly right. If the ref didn't move, was he going to blow the like a stop of play because he obstructed the play? No.
What was he going to do?
Yeah, we understand you can't disappear, but neither can the player. Like we know you can't disappear. And the fact that we know you can't disappear as well would just push you out of the way.
Well, nudged you.
You're in the way.
The ref should have spoke up for him.
Yeah.
You should have said it was nothing. It's part and parcel of the game. It's the same thing when Tony Carroll need that other bloke in there. Look, part and parcel.
Well, the thing is, in all reality, the Storm should have challenged it, but that just goes to show how much lack of faith they have in the system, that they're like, it could just be a lottery, and then we end up losing him for 2 weeks, and we've got a bye after this week, so it's three, you know, so much time without your half. So, but the Storm know that, he goes, it doesn't matter, we'll play Newcastle. Honestly, like the Storm, you know, Storm's record against a lot of teams is a bit like this.
Right, before we finish, we have to talk about the coach try. Tell me your thoughts.
The coach try. Oh. Oh.
Orgasmic.
It is. It's just like, which is, I remember the, like the, one of the Brett Morris ones where he sort of got whacked
in the air. When he jumped up in the air. Yep.
Jumped up in the air, like, but like, Coates was just coming at like just more speed before the flight as well. Like, and you look from where his foot just took off and
Oh. And so I thought he actually jumped too early. When he jumped, I go too early, and then he got there. And you know, another thing that was spectacular, and it might have helped him get there in the end, but Dallin Martinez-Zalesniak is prepared for the jump.
Yeah,
and as he goes to try and take him out, he jumps up as well. Like, you know, it's like was ready to like try and meet him, but he jumped even higher than Zalesniak,
got
the leg, and then bounced over and still gets it down.
Yeah, bro.
So yeah,
and he just did so. Even like the grip strength, the grip strength to hold that ball while you're twisting in the air, going at full pace. Like you've gone 5 or 6 meters in the air, like in distance as well, and then come down to then get it on. At the most important time as well, like with 30 seconds to go in the match.
Yeah. So like, three things I liked out of that, or maybe two things. One of them was him talking about how it was a team try. He was just at the end of it. Fair enough, you know, like that attitude. But also Pappenhausen and Craig Bellamy both gave him props, which I liked, and I didn't understand why I liked it, but I liked it that they sort of said, he works at that, he trains. You know, Bellamy said the most spectacular thing about that try is that's what he works on every day after training. He works on those catches, so it's not really a big surprise. And the way Tom described, he says, that's like better saying that this guy works hard. You're crediting his work ethic as opposed to just saying he's a freak.
Yeah.
You know, and being a freak can be a compliment, but at that level, for those types of people, they take pride in their work ethic. Being a freak, but they want to know that they actually were given it by God.
Yeah,
they did it themselves.
They had a strong influence
They influenced things. Yeah, exactly right. So that was pretty, and that just shows, you know, why they're the superior team or the premier team. Even though the Panthers might be the best team at the moment, the Storm by far and away the premier.
The Storm, still hold them. They're still Chip Daddy. They're big dog of the NRL.
Chip Daddy
of the NRL era. They're still the daddy. Like, you know, we talk about things that are guaranteed, death and taxes, and one of the things guaranteed is usually Melbourne Storm playing finals footy. You know, probably being in the top four, just about every one of those years. You know, it's insane. So. And that's why players go there. That's why Coates went there, you know? Because I want to play under Craig Bellamy in Melbourne.
It was a big shock that he didn't stay with the Broncos.
Absolutely. Because I don't think he went and signed for massive more money or anything.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. It's not like he's on there on big money. He just wanted to play there. And look, what he's showing.
Delivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I think we should call that a night there tonight, Cass.
Yep, mate. Another exciting week of footy.
Yeah.
Reviewed, and now we get a nice little a viewing of the next round of the greatest game of all. biggest derby game day. Of footy Friday
haven't
night.
Haven't spoken derby all week.
Yeah. This is where some of our best friends become enemies.
Become our worst enemies. Anyway, much love, Kaz. Peace out. Good to talk to you, as always. And up the chooks.
Up the chookies.